Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 81 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cassidy Stearman.
I know several nonprofits are doing a booth, and they've either made crafts or does art or are doing something.
The annual Moorhead Arts and Antiques Festival is set for Saturday.
Health officials say Kentuckians should not assume a new COVID treatment will be readily available.
A pre-filed bill could mandate the teaching of the history of racism in Kentucky schools.
Education leaders in Kentucky are unpacking Senate Bill 1.
In sports, MSU volleyball takes the home court this afternoon.
Bud Luke has a stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 63. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news. Moorhead's popular Arts and Eats Festival will look a little different this year. Because of COVID concerns, the planning committee decided to eliminate food booths manned by local businesses, which was the event's fundraiser for local charities. Rowan County Arts Center Director Ash Gillum says they have also tried to encourage social distancing by placing vendor booths further apart.
It is outside, and if, you know, they want to wear a mask, of course they can. I mean, we're not enforcing anything. It's up to everyone to do what makes them feel comfortable, but yeah, we have spread things out, and we're hoping that will help help keep things safe.
The Arts and Antiques Fair will be held this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. in downtown Moorhead.
Officials are cautioning Kentuckians not to rely on monoclonal antibody treatments as a substitute for vaccination against COVID-19. Monoclonal antibody infusions have increased 18-fold over the last 2 months in Kentucky, and the state isn't alone in seeing the rush on supplies. Due to a shortage, the federal government announced healthcare providers will no longer be ordering them directly. Instead, states will be overseeing distribution of a set amount of supplies. One reason to not consider the infusions as a fail-safe, unlike vaccines, they're not teaching the body how to fight back. Health Commissioner Dr. Steven Stack explains.
These are synthetic, laboratory-created antibodies that give you a temporary, so for less than 90 days, and passive, meaning your body isn't learning how to be more effective, it's a temporary immune boost.
It's not clear how the cap number of the treatments might affect new plans to set up regional antibody treatment centers, but Governor Andy Beshear says his administration will continue to do everything in its power to get the treatments to healthcare facilities.
Many Kentuckians who are currently hospitalized for COVID-19 complications are unvaccinated. 53-year-old Wendy Moore was admitted to the Clark Regional Medical Center nearly 3.5 weeks ago. Before her diagnosis, Moore was not worried about contracting the virus. She tells LAX 18 she regrets being skeptical and not getting the vaccine.
I definitely was wrong. Now, hindsight, I should have taken it with my daughter and son-in-law, but I didn't. But I'm definitely going to take it now.
Moore believes she may have contracted COVID-19 from one of her four grandchildren who she lives with, along with her daughter and son-in-law.
Following last week's passage of Senate Bill 1, leadership from the Kentucky Department of Education discussed the legislation's impact on public schools during Tuesday's superintendent's webcast. SB 1 declares the Kentucky Board of Education's emergency regulation mandating face masks in schools' facilities null, void, and unenforceable effective 5 days after its passage. It also requires districts to include details surrounding quarantining with their COVID-19 school operations plan. Commissioner of Education Jason Glass says KDE will do their best to answer any questions educators and school officials may have.
We are working on some guidance in the wake of the special session. I know that there are lots of questions on that. We hope to issue that early next week, shooting for Monday, but maybe a day or two after that, but we're shooting for Monday.
He adds, while there are no penalties for districts that choose to eliminate the use of contact tracing, they should consider the risk associated with the decision to remove it as a strategy.
We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Public middle and high schools in Kentucky would be required to teach the history of racism in the U.S. under a bill pre-filed by Representative Attica Scott. WUKY's Josh James has details.
Set for consideration during the 2022 legislative session, the bill would mandate that the schools provide instruction on a number of race-related topics, including the transatlantic slave trade, the American Civil War, Jim Crow laws, the Black Codes, desegregation, civil and voting rights legislation, redlining, and residential segregation. The measure's sponsor, Representative Scott, has been active in racial justice campaigns and is also running for the Democratic nomination for Kentucky's 3rd Congressional District. While the bill comes at a time when lawmakers are also pressing to ban the teaching of critical race theory, often dubbed CRT in the state, Scott says the bill is not a response to those efforts. Instead, she tweeted that the proposed curriculum change was filed at the request of Jefferson County Public School students. Kentucky Education Commissioner Jason Glass testified earlier this year that he was not aware of the CRT framework being taught in any classrooms. Mentions of critical race theory were reportedly scrubbed from an elective course dubbed Developing Black Historical Consciousness in Jefferson County Schools. Josh James, WUKY News.
A regional university is searching for a new president. WMKY's Hallie Adams has a story.
The Marshall University Presidential Search Committee will present a list of recommended finalists to the Board of Governors Executive Committee on September 30th. The committee completed 16 in-person interviews asking questions focusing on Marshall's mission and student success this week at an off-site location. The 16 candidates represent at least one measure of gender, ethnic, or racial diversity and came from a variety of academic and professional backgrounds. On campus, public events with the finalists are expected to be scheduled during the week of October 11th. For WMKY News, I'm Hallie Adams reporting.
Degrading mental health among the nation's K-12 students over the past year and a half has alarmed health professionals. Experts say some places in the region could use federal funding to help address students' needs at a time when the coronavirus crisis shows no signs of letting up. Tamika Owens is a summer research associate at the West Virginia Center on Budget and Policy and a doctoral student in educational theory and a practice at West Virginia University. She says the state will receive more than $761 million to ensure they can reopen safely and meet students' needs.
So school districts, for example, could hire more teachers, they could hire counselors, they could hire nurses, they could also hire additional social workers and school psychologists and counselors.
Owen says the majority of the funds will go to local school boards that will make decisions on how to use the money, but she says they must receive public input from educators and parents on their proposed plans.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tomorrow, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m., otherwise mostly sunny skies with a high near 83. Friday night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy overnight with a low around 65. Saturday, a 30% chance of showers in the afternoon, otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 83. Saturday night, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms, a low around 64. And for your Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 83.
On our feature segment today, the Kentucky Community and Technical College System has been named to the Forbes list of America's best in-state employers. WMKY's Leanne Akers has the story.
This year, KCTCS ranks 6th, moving up from 15th last year. Forbes partnered with market research company Statista to compile its third annual list of America's best employers by state. The list is divided into 51 rankings, one for each of the 50 states, plus the District of Columbia, and was compiled by surveying 80,000 Americans working for businesses with at least 500 employees. Surveys were conducted on a rolling basis from October 2020 to June 21 and were anonymous, allowing participants to freely share their opinions. The final list ranks the 1,330 employers that received the most recommendations. Mary Himlop is the Director of Communication Strategy at KCTCS. She says Forbes was looking at how employees rated their workplace based on several criteria,
including the safety of the work environment, compensation, opportunities for advancement, and openness to telecommuting, which of course was something we had to do during the pandemic. We moved to remote work and learning on a dime, basically, and I think everyone was really pleased with the flexibility that offered them and, you know, the safety for them and their students.
Himlop says the rankings came as a big surprise to everyone.
Last year we were on the list and we were ranked 15th, and this year we're up to 6th in Kentucky. What they've done is they have an outside, Forbes has an outside research firm that surveys people, and they talk to our employees, so it's a lot like the best places to work in Kentucky. It's based on employee input.
Himlop says KCTCS has been putting more focus on student needs in the last year through food pantries and offering internet access to anyone who visits the campus. She says administrators have tried to be flexible as the pandemic continues to impact higher education.
Once again, we're offering a lot of classes remotely, but we're also offering classes in person and then hybrids, which means that people may come into the campus once or twice a week, but mostly they're taking their classes online. And this has proved to be a really popular way of doing it.
But the pandemic has negative impacts as well. Himlop says enrollment this fall is down, but they're hoping to see more students in spring.
Extra unemployment benefit has ended, and we're hoping that people are going to take a look around. We know a lot of them are ready to change careers, and so we're a great place for them to come and get new skills or reskilled.
As far as providing for happy employees, Himlop says KCTCS stands out through small class sizes and a caring faculty and staff.
You know, a lot of folks who come to us don't have a lot of confidence, especially when you're looking at the non-traditional student, the adult learner. Our faculty and staff is what makes this place as good as it is, because they care about these students in a way that I think a lot of others, you know, the 4 years who are so large sometimes, they can't do that.
KCTCS was one of three higher education institutions in the top six on the Forbes list in Kentucky, which Himlop says shows the dedication of employees in academia.
We hear a lot of times about law enforcement or nursing, those kinds of careers being teaching, being a calling. And so I think that the folks who work in higher ed do see it as a calling. Faculty and staff, not just those who teach, but everyone who works there sees it as a calling and a way to help our state and our people.
For more information on the Kentucky Community and Technical College System, visit kctcs.edu. For WMKY News, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's and the Patrick Center Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include The Works, Garden Fresh, Zesty Italian Trio, and Fiery Buffalo Chicken. Side item menu offers papadillas, chicken wings, garlic knots, and double chocolate chip brownies. Curbside pickup or delivery in Moorhead and Round County. Papa John's phone number is 784-3551. And online at papajohns.com.
It's 81 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cassidy Stearman and Wiley Tanner, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Sarah Mead has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad you can spend time with us on this Thursday evening.
The Moorhead State University volleyball team is set to return to action in just a few minutes. For WMKY Sports, I'm Sarah Mead. It will be three consecutive days of exciting Division I volleyball in Johnson Arena as Moorhead State hosts the annual Comfort Invitational through Saturday. The team most recently faced 23rd-ranked Tennessee, and Associate Head Coach Kristen Becker-McBride says that was just the preparation they needed.
This week is going to be a battle. Marshall is a team that has played five sets in a lot of their matches, so they've plotted volleyball. Toledo's a solid team, and currently Pittsburgh is ranked number 4. We actually expect them to possibly go up to number 2 or number 3. So the physicality of Tennessee was a good warm-up for Pittsburgh because they are a pretty tough, physical, low-error team.
The Eagles will face off with the Thundering Herd at 6 o'clock. They'll face Toledo tomorrow at the same time, followed by Pittsburgh Saturday at 2 o'clock. The Rowan County Senior High School volleyball team had a good senior night tribute, defeating Fleming County at home in three straight sets. Following the ceremony for the Vikings, Bailey Brashear and Maggie Moore, Rowan never let the Panthers into double digits. Head coach Steve Walters says they had to hold senior night early this season due to COVID and hoped it would be a good event for the team.
Both of them terrific young ladies and have worked really hard to put this program where it was, where it is, and where it will continue to be. So we're hoping to give them a nice little send off, and hopefully they'll continue to have success through the end of the season.
Rowan will have one more game this week. They'll host Breathitt County on Saturday. Soccer fought hard to attempt to overcome early setbacks, but ultimately fell on the road to Miami last night, 2-0. The loss drops the Eagles to 2-5 and 1 on the season as they continue to search for their first road victory of the year. The Eagles' defense faced steady pressure nearly all game, but after conceding a pair of early goals, settled in to keep the team in the game. Michelle Jarantowski notched 5 more saves, including stopping all 3 shots against her in the second half. Head coach Warren Lipka says she has been a major asset to the team.
She's just so steady. I mean, she makes the job look easy because she's got great positioning. She organizes our backs really well. She gives them a lot of confidence. Just a tough kid. And, you know, and also our back four has been playing really well these last few games. I mean, they've only let up a goal here and a goal there, and they're always taking the pressure. And that's what we want to do is relieve a little bit of pressure off them.
Morehead State will look to bounce back quickly as the Eagles take on Chattanooga in Tennessee for their final non-conference game of the year, Sunday at 1 p.m. Morehead State football had to keep on their toes heading into Saturday's game against Point, and that's something the team will have to keep up this season. The world of athletics is one of the areas affected most by the pandemic, and the Eagles felt that firsthand when they had to switch opponents last week. Originally set to face Union, MSU ended up taking on the Skyhawks for the family weekend game. Head coach Rob Tenier says he's telling his guys they're going to have to stay flexible.
When we met with the team on Sunday, I just said, you know, listen, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you. Because at that point, you know, we'd already heard some rumors that Union might not be able to play, and we didn't know if we'd even play a game. So I challenged our team, I challenged our staff, and I said, listen, we got to go out and we got to get better this week. We got to have a lot of energy at practice, got to be really locked in and give them tremendous effort.
The Eagles will return to road play this weekend as they head to Tennessee to take on Austin Peay Saturday. Kickoff in Clarksville is set for 3 o'clock. A former member of the Morehead State University football team passed away this week. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
Morehead State Athletics mourns the passing of football alum Jonathan Cage, who passed away this week at 55. Cage was an All-State tailback at Russellville High School before enrolling at Morehead State in 1984. He was a starting tailback for the Eagles from 1984 to 1987, scoring 9 rushing touchdowns in his career. He also rushed for more than 500 career yards. In 1986, he helped Morehead State to a national ranking and a 7-4 record. He also served as a valuable kick returner for the Eagles. At Russellville High School, Cage was an all-star athlete and helped his team win the 1983-84 state championship. He was named one of the 50 greatest football players of all time at RHS. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
The Rowan County Senior High School football team is on their last day of prep before their next game. The Vikings will be back on the road tomorrow as they face off with the Musketeers in Greenup County. The team has some momentum going in, defeating Fleming County at home last week, 47-26. Coach Kelly Ford says there were several standout performances in that game, including senior running back Cole Wallace.
He's a warrior for us. He ended up having 24 rushes for 234 and 2 TDs. And then Rocky Miller had 8 rushes for 52 and 2 TDs. And those guys, I mean, they run the football really well when we're getting our
ground and pound game, and they do a good job carrying the football for us.
Game time in Greenup County tomorrow is set for 7:30. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Sarah Mead.
Bud Luke has a look at the stocks right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, scones, cookies, and cinnamon rolls. Lunch items feature signature sandwiches, braids, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., curbside delivery at 780-4282. Facebook and online at rutabakers.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Barrett. This is Bud Luke with your stock market report for WMKY. At 350, the Dow Jones Industrial Average had climbed back from intraday lows as investors digested better than expected August retail sales and the latest weekly jobless claims report. The blue chip average was little changed on the day after falling as much as 274 points earlier in the session. The S&P 500 also traded near the flat line, while the NASDAQ was up 0.1%. August retail sales surprised the market and rose 0.7% from the month prior. Economists going into the report had expected a 0.8% month-over-month decline. However, the retail sales beat came after the initial estimate for July was revised down sharply from a month-over-month gain of 0.5% to a decline of 1.8%. Meanwhile, the latest unemployment insurance weekly data showed 332,000 first-time jobless claims last week. Economists going into the report expected a total of 320,000 initial claims. And mining names today, like Freeport-McMoRan and Newmont, were the biggest laggards on the S&P 500, both of these stocks down roughly 5% on the day. And energy names, which popped the day before, edged down with the Energy Select Spider ETF down about 0.6%. On the upside, Moderna shares rose after the company released more data on breakthrough COVID cases that supports the push for the wide use of vaccine booster shots. Despite a rebound yesterday, the S&P 500 and the Dow are still in the red for the month of September, and after seven straight months of gains for the S&P 500, many on Wall Street expect bumpier trading and lower returns for the next couple of months or so. And, of course, this Friday begins a historically weak period for stocks, as those September losses typically come in the back half of the month. In the oil markets today, as mentioned, pretty quiet, even though oil stocks are down. West Texas Intermediate is flat at $72.64 a barrel. Gold is down 2.25% at $1,755 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it's App Harvest down 20 cents at $7.45, Kroger down 10 cents at $0.41, Marathon Petroleum down 32 cents at $59.25, PPL down 26 cents at $29.20, Fifth Third Bank up 15 cents at $40.42, and CSX is up 7 cents at $30.92. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking a look at the weather, Friday, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms after 3 p.m., mostly sunny with a high near 83. Friday night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly cloudy with a low around 65. Saturday, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms after 11 a.m., mostly sunny with a high near 83. Saturday night, a 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 10 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 64.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Wiley Tanner, Rachel Turner, Hallie Adams, Sarah Mead, and Keneally Roberts. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cassidy Stearman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.